I'm so glad that you have joined us this morning for the Let the Bible Speak program. I appreciate you studying with us each Sunday morning. I've been going through some of the Psalms, trying to bring out some important lessons for us today. There are many Psalms, of course, and I'm being selective, choosing some that have themes that go along with things that are in our life today. And one that I want to choose for this morning is Psalm 49, because it speaks of the folly of trusting in riches. And one reason why I wanted to go through this psalm is, if you consider our nation as a whole, we are a very wealthy nation. Many people have money and things, and there's a great emphasis in our culture on materialism and monetary value. And I want to simply remind us of the folly of trusting in riches. So this, I believe, will be a good study for us today. And it certainly helps deal with things that are going on in our life today regarding money. And the lesson this morning is not just for millionaires and billionaires. The lesson this morning is to keep riches, regardless of how much we have, to keep those riches in its proper place. So this morning I'd like to just go over Psalm 49 and what it is teaching, and then I want to spend the rest of our time looking at some New Testament passages and teaching on the matter of riches. So Psalm 49, there's an introductory statement in the first four verses, where the psalmist is saying, I would like to teach you some wisdom about two important topics in life, riches and death, money and death. And those are two things that concern people today. And so in verses 1 through 4, there's an introductory statement. And then the psalm can be divided basically into two sections. What riches cannot buy, verses 5 through 12, and where riches cannot go, verses 13 through 20. Riches cannot buy you more time. If you're going to die, if you get at the end of your life and you're going to die, you cannot just pay somebody money and just keep living on and on. And number two, when you die, you cannot take your riches with you. So what riches cannot buy, and where riches cannot go. So let's look at this great psalm, The Folly of Trusting in Riches. The psalmist, it's attributed to one of the sons of Korah. Hear this, all you peoples, give ear, all you inhabitants of the world. This is for everyone. It doesn't matter who you are. Both low and high, rich and poor, together. It doesn't matter what your economic status is, there is a reminder in this psalm, whether we have little money or much money, there are some things that riches cannot buy, and there are some places where riches cannot go. Verse 3, my mouth shall speak wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. I will incline mine ear to a parable. I will open my dark sayings upon the harp. So the psalmist has wisdom, and we would do well to learn from this wisdom. We would do well to open up our hearts and minds to the wisdom that God has for us in his word. So many people walking by their own human wisdom cause problems for themselves and others. We cannot improve upon the wisdom of God. And so the psalmist has some wisdom concerning the trusting in riches, and we need to learn that today. So beginning in verses 5 through 12, the psalmist wants to talk about what riches cannot buy. You can go here in Clarksville and other places and buy a lot of things, but there's some things that money just cannot buy. Money cannot buy true love. Money cannot buy a relationship with God. Money cannot buy more time. When it's time for you to die, you're going to die. It's appointed unto man once to die. Then comes the judgment, Hebrews 9:27. And when you get to that point, you can't pay somebody and just say, well, give me some more years. Here's some money. Add some more time to my life. It's not going to work like that. So verse 5, wherefore should I fear in the days of evil, when iniquity at my heels compasses me about? They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their life is costly, and it faileth forever. That he should still live alway, that he should not see corruption. That's the point of this first section. You can't give money so that you don't have to see death. You're going to die, friend. I'm going to die. If Jesus does not come in the meantime, we're going to die. And you can't give money to God to ransom you from death. Here's some money. I'm not going to die. It doesn't work like that. In verse 5, the iniquity there is the iniquity of the people who are trusting in their riches. And the psalmist is surrounded by those. And notice verse 6, that's a key to understanding this psalm. They that trust in their wealth and boast in the multitude of their riches. We'll talk about that later when we get to the rich young ruler. The problem is not money per se. It's those who trust in their money. Riches and money per se are not a problem. And having riches is not condemned per se in Scripture. There were rich people in the Old Testament who faithfully served God. I think about Abraham and Job. In the New Testament, I think about the rich man, Joseph of Arimathea, who gave his tomb to Jesus. I think about Zacchaeus. He's described as a rich man. And he wanted to see Jesus and get to Jesus in order to be one of his followers. So riches themselves are not the problem. But verse 6, those who trust and boast in their riches. In other words, riches are going to save me. Riches can give me anything I want and everything I want. And when I can go out and buy whatever I want, I don't need God in my life. Money is taking care of all of my issues. Trusting in riches. None of them can by any means redeem his brother. Talking about where we don't have to die. So there are just some things that riches cannot buy, and extended time for our life is one of them. Verse 10, for he shall see it. He shall see death. It's going to happen. Wise men die, the fool and the brutish alike perish and leave their wealth to others. What are we using our money for now? What are we using our things for now? You can't take it with you. Why not use it for good and in God's service and in the Lord's work now? Why not use it for good now? You can't take it with you. And the pharaohs thought they could, and so the pyramids are full of all kinds of riches, but they're still sitting there, what hasn't been robbed by grave diggers. And we go into these pyramids, and all of the riches were left there. They were either later stolen or put in a museum, but they weren't taken into the afterlife. And so we've got to learn this wisdom. Number one, don't trust in wealth. Number two, don't think that you can pay money and not die. And number three, you're going to leave it to others. Why not use it for good now? Verse 11, their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. Friends, we don't need to have a legacy that is built upon my material things that I leave behind. My legacy needs to be that I was a faithful Christian and that I did the Lord's work. I was a member of the Lord's church. That needs to be my legacy. Verse 12, But men being in honor abideth not. He is like the beast that perishes. So we're going to die just like the animals. And we need to remember that. So verses 5 through 12, riches cannot buy you out of the hand of death. And it's folly to think that you can. And the psalmist is wanting us to be wise. The second thing that the psalmist wants to talk about is where riches cannot go. You don't take them with you into the afterlife. That's already been mentioned in verse 10. They leave their wealth to others, but it becomes more clear in verses 13 through 20. Let's look at it. This their way is their folly, yet after them men approve their sayings. There's all kinds of people who will talk about the importance of riches. There's all kinds of people who will approve of the foolish behavior of the wealthy. But we've got to ask ourselves, do we want to go by what God says about the matter or what men say about the matter? You can always find, verse 13, men who will approve their sayings. You can always find men who will approve ungodly behavior. But we have to go by what God says, not by what man says. They, these rich that trust in their riches, they are appointed as a flock for Sheol or the grave. They're going to be taken to the grave just like everybody else. Death shall be their shepherd. That's where they're headed. And the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning. The upright, those who are living godly lives, shall have dominion over them in the morning. In what way? Well, they're going to have a better reward, a spiritual reward now and when they die. And they will be raised in the morning of the resurrection of eternal life. There's a glimpse here in verse 14 and 15 of the afterlife. There's a few places in the Old Testament where Old Testament saints had a partial understanding of life after death. We already saw that in Psalm 16 and verse 10. You'll see it again in Psalm 73, 24, Job 19, 25 through 27, and here in Psalm 49, 14 and 15. So we need to be among the godly, the upright. And their beauty shall be for Sheol to consume, that there be no habitation for it. But, here's your contrast, but God will redeem my soul from the power of Sheol, for he will receive me. He will receive me. Notice that. A glimpse of living on after one dies. And notice, God will redeem my soul. Back in verse 7 and 8, money cannot redeem a person and keep them from dying. We're going to die. But God will redeem my soul. Redemption doesn't come from paying somebody money. Redemption comes by being right with God and being raised to eternal life. That's where the redemption and the ransom comes, from God, not by paying money to somebody. And that's very important. Money cannot buy everything. I'm sorry, friends. It just cannot buy a right relationship with God. It cannot buy righteousness in the judgment day. You have to live a godly life now. And that has nothing to do with money. Money plays a role in our life. We need it for food, shelter, and clothing, and the necessities of life and other things. Nowhere in the scripture does God say, don't ever have money. This is talking about keeping it in its proper place. We're not going to trust in it. We're not going to boast in it. It is a servant to help us get through life, but it's not a master. And what's important, the priority in life, is being right with God, being a godly person. So, God will redeem my soul from the power of Sheol, for he will receive me. Be not thou afraid when one is made rich, when the glory of his house is increased. For when he dies, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. You underscore that in your Bible. You will carry nothing away. In fact, you won't even carry your own body with you. Your soul will separate from your body. That's what death is. James says that in James chapter 2. The body without the spirit is dead. That body is going to be laying in a casket or somewhere else, and it's going to be put in a cemetery or somewhere else. You're not even going to take that with you into Hades, the realm of the departed dead. And you're certainly not going to take money and other things with you. So, the folly of trusting in riches. Number one, there are things that riches cannot buy. And number two, there are places where riches cannot go. And they will not go with you into the afterlife. Though while he lived, he blessed his soul. And men praise thee when thou doest well to thyself. Everybody is applauding the rich man. And he's even applauding himself. Look at how wealthy I am. He shall go to the generation of his fathers. They shall never see the light. Man that is in honor and understands not is like the beast that perishes. So we need to get some wisdom. We need to get some wisdom, and it's for all mankind. And that is, we've got to keep a proper relationship with our money, a proper attitude, and keep it in a right relationship with all of the affairs of our life. Now, I want to come to the New Testament. Jesus and Paul and others have some things to say about riches. And I'd like to take a look at that while we have time this morning. In Matthew chapter 13, when Jesus is talking about the parable of the sower, and the seed is the word of God, and the sower is Jesus and others who would later sow the seed of the word of God on the hearts of men and women. And one particular ground that is mentioned there, one particular heart that is mentioned in Matthew 13, 22, he that was sown among the thorns is he that hears the word of God, and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. The word of God does not grow in the hearts of individuals who have cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches. God's word cannot grow in that person. The deceitfulness of riches. Have you ever thought about what's deceitful about riches? What is it that makes it deceitful? Well, one deceiving thing is what we've already seen. Some people think that money can buy everything. That's one deceitful thing. It cannot. Some people think that you can take it with you. Well, that's another deceiving thing about it. You cannot. Some people think that money is all you need, and you don't need God or a relationship with him. You don't need church and Bible and prayer and all that kind of stuff. I just need my money and my things. Well, that's a deceit as well. So there are a number of deceitful things about riches, and it keeps the word of God from growing in your life if you have that in your life. Don't let it choke out the word. And then in Matthew chapter 19, the rich young ruler comes to Jesus, and he wants to know what to do to have eternal life. And Jesus says, well, keep the commandments. This is under the old law. Still living under the old law, keep the commandments. And he said that he had done that. And then Jesus said, if you would come follow me, if you would be made perfect, sell that which you have, give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. But when the young man heard the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he was one that had great possessions. He didn't want to give up his possessions for Jesus. He had a good attitude, but his possessions in wealth and riches won out the day. Later, right after this, when he walks away, Jesus turns to the disciples and says, "How hard is it for a rich man who trusts in his riches," that's Mark's account, "who trusts in his riches to enter into the kingdom of heaven? It is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven." Again, what's the problem? Mark's account says the one who trusts in his riches. Riches and money per se or by itself is not the problem. But this rich young ruler trusted in it to the point that he did not want to give any of it up. And that's the problem. And so because we live in a very wealthy society, a money-driven society, a materialistic-driven society, I thought that Psalm 49 would be good for us today on the program to remind us to keep riches in its proper place. On another occasion in Luke chapter 6 in verse 24, Jesus said, "Woe unto you that are rich, for you have received your consolation." You rich people, you're getting what you want. You're getting praise and fame and fortune and the high life and a good time. But that's all you're getting. You're not right with God. So woe to you that are rich. You think you have it all, but you're actually lacking the very thing that you need to be getting, and that is praise from God for a right relationship with Him. You're not getting that. All you're getting is just the praise of this life. And then in Luke chapter 12, Jesus teaches the parable of the rich farmer. There were two who were arguing over their inheritance, and one of them said, "Teacher," or Jesus, "bid my brother divide the inheritance with me." And Jesus said, "Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you?" And he said unto them, "Take heed and keep yourselves from all covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses." That's another deceit of riches. When we have money and material things, we think, this is it. This is all I need in life. And we don't realize that what we need most importantly is a right relationship with God. He spake the parable, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he reasoned within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have not wherewith to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all of my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou foolish one, this night is thy soul required of thee, and the things which thou hast prepared, whose shall they be? So is he that lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." The problem with this man was not that he was a good businessman. The problem was not that he was wealthy, or that he was a good businessman, or needed to expand his barns in order to keep his inventory. The problem was not that he wanted to take a rest. Rest is necessary from time to time. The problem was he was just rich toward himself and not toward God. His soul was not right with God. He had not done anything with God to make his life right with God. And so when it came time to die, he's just going to have to leave all this stuff to somebody else, and he's not going to be right. And with regard to that, where is this rich man going? Well, you can go from Luke 12 and turn forward a few chapters to Luke 16, and you can see where the rich man is going, who's not right with God. He's going to a place of torment. So in Luke 16, verse 19, Jesus says, "There was a certain rich man." Well, if you'll back up a few verses to verse 14, Jesus is surrounded by the Pharisees who were lovers of money. They were lovers of money. And so he wants to talk with them about some things. And one of them is this certain rich man. Luke 16:19, was clothed in purple and fine linen, faring sumptuously every day, and a certain beggar named Lazarus was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the man's table. Yea, even the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and that he was carried away by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. This is the same thing that we found in Psalm 49. Both die alike. And in Hades, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, that is the rich man, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame. Notice that he died, and he didn't take any of his money with him, and his money didn't keep him from dying. All of these things in Luke 16 are illustrating Psalm 49, the truths of Psalm 49. And he's in torment because he's not right with God when he died. He was just focusing on his riches. Now, this is not hell. This is before we get to the judgment day. This is the place of the departed dead. The godly are in Abraham's bosom, a place of paradise. The ungodly are in a place of torment. This is even before the judgment day. This is even before heaven and hell. So the ungodly go from torment to the judgment day and then to hell fire. Why would we want to be focused so much today on money things and not get our life right with God? There are other things that we could read here in Luke 16 that are good, but I just simply wanted to make the note that here's a rich man, like the rich farmer in Luke 12, who dies and is not right with God, he goes to torment. So again, the folly of trusting in riches. Well, you can turn a few chapters and go forward to Luke 19 and read about Zacchaeus, who was a small man. He climbed up in a tree so that he could see Jesus. We often teach this story to the children in the children's Bible classes. And the text says that he was rich, Luke 19, verse 2, in addition to some other things. He was a tax collector, and he was a short man, but he was rich. But that didn't keep him from wanting to get to Jesus. And later, when Jesus comes to his home, today is salvation come to this house, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost, including the rich. Somebody says, well, I don't know if the rich would ever be saved. A rich person can be saved, just like Zacchaeus. But you can't have more love for riches than you have for Jesus. So in one case, a rich man, the rich young ruler who comes to Jesus, he walks away lost. And then there's another rich man, Zacchaeus, he ends up being saved. And so that's something to think about. And in Luke's account, what's interesting is in Luke's account, Luke 18, verse 18, the rich young ruler comes to Jesus and ends up walking away lost. In the very next chapter, the rich man Zacchaeus stays with Jesus and is saved. The choice is yours. And then there are some things that the Apostle Paul writes, but we don't have time to look at that today. Maybe we could pick that up at another time. But friends, let's not trust in riches, but in God. Thank you for being with us, and I hope that you'll have a good day.